Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
I love that show. It's really cool. And it's always amazing, you know, the things that you know, his advice as far as life is, find what somebody else is not doing and do it. And you'll never go hungry. You'll always have money. But that means you got to be willing to do some dirty things, some nasty things as far as that goes. As you guys think about some of the worst jobs in the world, what would some of those jobs be? What would you say? Okay, yeah. Yeah, especially in a place like New York City, huh? Yeah, no doubt. That would be bad. What else would you guys have on that list?
Well, my two younger brothers worked in a slaughterhouse one year.
Ooh.
And their job was to make sure all of the waste got pushed into a big vat. They were down there with rubber boots, making sure it was going out.
Oh, I'm sure they smelled good when they got home.
Yeah.
You smell them a mile away. That would be a nasty job, a bad job. What else is on the list? What would you say? And maybe it's not dirty. It's just, I mean, I don't want to do that. That would be too scary, or that would be... The one I thought about is a bomb diffuser. Just think about that for a moment. Like, you are literally face-to-face. I was over at Mom and Dad's the other night, and there was some show on. Dad's always watching some old show he's seen 1,000 times, but nevertheless, he's going to watch it again, you know, because it's better than anything else that's new on, he says. And so, but this one wasn't a cowboy show, which is what it normally is. This one was kind of a World War I or something like that, World War II show, and this guy was brought up there to be trained on how to defuse landmines. Of course, that was a big thing, you know, and he didn't know that it was a dud. And so he was freaking out. He was sweating. He was doing all these things, you know. And then all of a sudden he got the lid up and dropped it and ducked for cover and all this stuff. So, I mean, you just imagine the stress of trying to defuse a bomb. All of that pressure. But it takes somebody with a cool head. It takes somebody with a steady hand. And you know what? Being a leader sometimes feels like you are a bomb diffuser. Can I get an amen? Right? I mean, think about those things. You are constantly working in whatever aspect you're a leader. Remember, everybody's leading somebody. That's the name of this series, okay? So every one of us in some aspect of our life is a leader because somebody's looking up to us. We're influencing somebody. And so we often find ourselves running around with some frequency trying to keep things from blowing up. So we become that bomb diffuser. And then sometimes it blows up anyways. And we've all seen that in the movies as far as that goes. You think about just a few months back, right, down in Nashville. You know, as they had the bomb squad brought in, that thing still blew up and all the things with that. All right? So you can just think about all of the emotions there that you then move from detonation or diffuser to bomb cleanup. It's really an emotional thing, constantly trying to figure out if this thing's going to blow up or if it's not, or if it has, how do we get it cleaned up? How do we make this mess right again? And here's the truth of the matter. When we face things like that, it can actually ignite in us a ticking time bomb in our own heart. And if we're not careful, we will blow up. We will self-destruct. And so as leaders, we have to be cool-headed. That's the title of tonight's message, cool-headed. We as leaders have to be cool-headed. We have to be like those bomb diffusers. And Proverbs here in the book, we see this really important proverb in Proverbs 16:32, which says this. Proverbs 16:32 says, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Well, we're going to focus for the big picture here on that second half there, all right? That second half there. He who rules his spirit is better and mightier than he who takes a city. Now just think about that for a moment. What they're saying is that it's hard for us to control our spirit. Right? It's hard for us. It's easier in some sense to take a whole city than it is to control our own spirit. But that brings us tonight to our seventh leadership principle in this series that we're calling Everybody's Leading Somebody. And here's that seventh principle. It's this, is that good leaders keep their emotions under control, acting instead of reacting. Now let's talk about that for a moment. What is the difference between acting and reacting? How would you characterize the two? What is the difference? What would you say? Okay, so the reaction is spontaneous. It just, boom, it happens. All right? How else would you characterize it? That's right. Thoughtful. It's planned. Yeah, certainly. So as you think about those two things, get that in your brain, that good leaders keep their emotions under control, acting instead of reacting. All right? So let's pray together. And I think this will be relevant for me. This has been helpful for me, even looking over this and preparing it. And I'm going to guess it's going to be helpful for you all. So let's pray together. Father, I'm so thankful for this group that's gathered here tonight, Lord. And we ask tonight as we come to your word and we bow to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would help us be self-controlled, that you would help us to stay in control of our emotions. And God, even when it looks like the bomb's about to explode or the pressure is just building up as the clock is ticking down, Father, help us to maintain. Help us to maintain control, that we would act instead of react. Father, we want to pray for anyone here tonight who's never turned and trusted Jesus. We want to just ask God that you would show them how much they need a Savior. And that even tonight, God, on a Wednesday night, they would turn and give their heart to the only Savior of the world. That's Jesus. And so, God, would you just move in their life, Lord? It's in Christ's name we ask all of this. Amen. All right. So good leaders keep their emotions under control, acting instead of reacting. And so I've got one question that's going to kind of lead us out into three questions, okay? So here's the question I want us to think about, and we're just going to brainstorm for a moment, all right? Y'all got to help me out. All right. What negative emotions are leaders especially prone to when things go wrong? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about other people, all right? So you can just be as honest as you want to be because we're talking about other people right now, all right? What emotions are people most prone to, leaders most prone to, especially when things go wrong? You would say what?
Blame.
Yep.
Anger.
Embarrassment.
Anger.
Frustration. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, foul language. All those things. So you think about all those emotions. The three that I came up with that I want to focus with tonight, and maybe these are just the ones that I mainly struggle with, are these three: fear, anger, and doubt. But we'll take them in this order: anger, fear, and doubt. Now think about it for just a moment. When that thing is ticking down or that thing blows up, anger sometimes erupts. I'm so angry that I could blow, right? I'm so mad that they did that. I'm so mad that it didn't work out. And then all sorts of things want to come out of us, right? As far as that goes. So there's the anger part of it. There's the fear. I'm so scared that I'm paralyzed and can't do what I need to do here. We've all been there before. Paralyzed by fear. And then there's doubt. I'm terrible. They're terrible. This thing is hopeless. Some of you may even be there right now in some situation in your life. You feel hopeless in it. So as you think about that, we've all been there before. We've been bombarded with anger, fear, and doubt as a leader when things don't go as planned. But let me remind you, Proverbs 16:32, that second part. He who rules his spirit is better and mightier than he who takes a city. So if we will remain in control of our emotions, we will be stronger than that victorious general who takes that city. So we're going to ask three questions then with those three emotions. How do I control my anger? How do I control my fear? And how do I control my doubt? All right? And we're really going to focus in on anger here, I suppose, for the most, because that's the one I think of is probably most prevalent for us. And also, as I'm reading the Proverbs here, I can't believe how many times it's talked about. Over and over. I mean, I didn't even put them all in here tonight for us. But just over and over again, the Proverbs talk about anger and the problem with it and the wisdom in controlling it, all right? So, but let's start with this question. Is anger always bad? How do I control my anger? Is anger always bad? And the answer is no. It's not always bad, right? There's righteous anger. If I were to go out here tonight and we walk outside here and I've taken a knife to all four of Tommy's tires, would you expect him to be angry? Yeah. Would you blame him? No. Would he be righteous in his anger? Absolutely, right? There are things that we should be angry about. So anger is not automatically a bad emotion, all right? It's not always. In fact, Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and do not sin." Be angry and do not sin. So that means that we can be angry without sinning. So let's think about that for a moment. I found a really good list from a person, Tracy Miles, who just helped us to think through this. How do I know if my anger is sinful? This is a really good list, all right? And here's the list. Seven things listed here. Number one is I know my anger is sinful when the reason for being angry is selfishly motivated. I know that I'm unrighteous in my anger. Second, I'm unrighteous in my anger. I'm sinful in my anger when being angry is not glorifying God or defending his name. Three, I know I'm sinful in my anger when anger goes on for so long that it gives the devil a foothold in my heart. Four, I know that I'm sinful in my anger when my anger is so volatile that it brings emotional or physical harm to others. Five, I know that my anger is sinful when anger causes us to hold grudges against people with the intent of making them suffer. Six, I know that my anger is sinful when anger makes me unwilling to forgive and I'm consumed with revenge. And then finally, I know that my anger is sinful when I hold on to it so tightly that I begin to feel depressed and irritable, often erupting over small, insignificant things. So you can see some different ways there when our anger is sinful, all right? But the question then is how do I control it? And I just want to point us to four things here in this passage on how to control our anger. I think one of the things, the first thing is this, is that we have to realize how serious uncontrolled anger can be. Maybe you grew up in a family that your family just vented, you know? I mean, it was out there. You know, you guys would have a fight and blow up and maybe you'd be all right with it, but others of you didn't, all right? But nevertheless, uncontrolled anger can be very serious, all right? Or it is very serious. And so the Proverbs help us to see this. So I'm going to pass some out here. Got several here. So who would take Proverbs 15:1 tonight and read that for us? Proverbs 15:1. Thank you. Proverbs 19:19. Proverbs 19:19. Passing them out. Okay. All right. Thank you. Proverbs 25:28. 25. Thank you, Shannon. 25:28. Proverbs 29:22. 29:22. Thank you, Pearl. And then finally, Proverbs 30:33. Proverbs 30:33. Thank you, Sherry. All right. Let's hear these here for just a moment. Again, realize how serious uncontrolled anger can be. Let's hear Proverbs 15:1. So listen to that right there. What that says there is that when you are uncontrolled in your anger, you actually blow up even more, right? You make the situation worse. You may feel better in the moment, but the situation is worse because now you've got a mess that's even bigger than the one you began with. A harsh word stirs up anger. Let's hear Proverbs 19:19. So a great man of wrath will pay the penalty. There's penalty, right? We've all been there before where our anger's gotten us into trouble. Our anger has ruined relationships. It's ruined opportunities. It's ruined whatever you want to say. It's like the bull in the china shop, the raging bull, going to break stuff. Proverbs 25:28. So listen to that right there. The imagery there. Read it again for us, Shannon. Just listen to the imagery here. So that idea of without the self-control, there's no wall there. We've all been there before when we've been so angry. We're so easily manipulated when we're angry, aren't we? So easily. We don't have any defenses. Like, it doesn't take much to just push us over to the next thing. That's why mobs are so dangerous or whatever you want to say, right? I mean, it puts you in a state where you're just easily manipulated, easily influenced to do wicked things. You're like a city broken into and left without walls. You have no defense. You are out there and you're vulnerable. How about Proverbs 29:22?
A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression.
Yep, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and a man of anger, and one who's given to anger, causes a lot of sin. A lot of sin. How about Proverbs 30, verse
33?
I like that. Again, when you think about the imagery in the Bible, this one's really vivid. And I'm sure I've read this one before, but again, just this time around, it was like a wow, right? For pressing milk produces curds. So just picture that, pressing the milk, producing curds, pressing the nose, just think about getting punched in the nose or twisting the nose, as Sherry's translation said, produces blood. The inevitable outcome of uncontrolled anger is strife. It's going to be trouble. It's going to be a hard relationship. James 1:19-20, in fact, says this: "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." This uncontrolled anger, and you've been there before, maybe in that conversation with your wife or that conversation with your coworkers or whoever it is, and you just keep, and it just keeps building and building, and at some point somebody has to say, we've got to stop before we really, really say something that we regret or do something that we regret, because the uncontrolled anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It produces a lot of transgression, a lot of hurt, a lot of other brokenness. So we got to realize how serious uncontrolled anger can be. All right? And every one of us, in some form or fashion, we're sort of on a continuum where anger is not that big of a deal for us. And on this other side, where anger's a really big deal for us. I heard an interview with Gina Serrano the other day, or Carano, I guess it is. The other day, the girl that used to be on The Mandalorian and got canceled. And before she was an actress, she was an MMA fighter. she fought, and she kept describing herself. She says, I've got hot blood. And she just kept, that was the word she used to describe herself over and over. And so you might be that person who has hot blood. You just for whatever reason, your fuse is short. And you have trouble holding on to this. You've got to realize how serious uncontrolled anger can be. Second, though, I'd say this to you, is to see the wisdom of controlling your anger. So we're going to see here, we're going to realize how serious uncontrolled anger can be, but second, see the wisdom of controlling your anger. And again, the Proverbs are instructive here. I could have done a lot more. But listen, let's hear these. Proverbs 16:32, I'll read them this time. Proverbs 16:32, which is our primary text. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. It's better, right? You're better than the mighty when you do that. It's commendable. It's amazing, right? Proverbs 19:11 says this. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. That's one of my favorite passages in Scripture, especially for 2021 and 2020 and 2019, and these years where everybody's offended. We're to the point now. We're to the point now where it's almost like offense is a drug now. Being offended is a drug, and they constantly have to go get that hit, right, to keep things stirred up. It's just always happening there, right? And so this passage of Scripture says it's actually glorious to overlook, to be unoffendable, to overlook it. Now, again, there are some things that can't be overlooked, but a lot of things can be. And so it's wise to do that. It's good, it's wise, it's good sense to be slow to anger and to overlook an offense. Proverbs 29:11 says this. Well, we need to hear this. A fool gives full vent to his spirit. A dummy, someone who is not smart, someone who is not wise, just lets it flow without any control. It's like if we were to go over here to the Barren River Lake Reservoir and just open the gate up completely there on the dam and just let it whoosh, what would happen downstream? Flooding and devastation and all those things, right? That's what happens when the person just gives full vent. But a wise man quietly holds it back. How about Proverbs 15:18? It says this, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife. But he who is slow to anger quiets contention. So we got to see the wisdom of controlling our anger. We've all been there before where we've lost our tempers and we go back and say, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did that. And then we strive to not do it again. Don't say any names right now because they may be sitting next to you. But who is the one person that can make you the angriest, the fastest? Oh my goodness, Clifton scooted over. So we've got to know that. We've got to think about that. Think about that person and that person there. You got to have some extra grace. God, give me extra grace, right? So that comes to the third thing here is that if we're going to control our anger, then we have to pray to God to fill us with the Spirit. Think about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Every single one of those are relevant to controlling our anger. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Every one of those. God, fill me with your Spirit, that I would produce these things in me, that I might be in control of my anger, because good leaders control their emotions. And fourth, I would say this. Again, these are just practical things tonight, is that we have to replace anger. You have to realize, guys, in Scripture, the Bible doesn't just call us to stop doing something. It calls us to replace that something, all right? And so what do we replace anger with? What do you guys think? What should anger be replaced with? Sinful anger, unrighteous anger, uncontrolled anger. What should it be replaced with? What would you say? Grace.
Prayer.
Prayer.
Maybe honesty, because we're in the moment
Okay, yeah.
You may know that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sort of telling yourself a lie.
Yeah, you rationalize it, don't you? Mm-hmm. Yep. What else would you say? I would say this. I would say problem solving. Right? When we're thinking about being a leader, the things that often make us angry are the problems that arise, right? I mean, if we could just go through our day and nothing break and everything be fine, life would be good. But it's when that thing breaks or that person doesn't do what they're supposed to do that we're tempted to lose control of our anger, all right? And so God actually gave us this emotion. You just think about, just for a moment, that rush of energy that you get, that just, you know, that kind of just, you can even feel it coming out of the top of your head, it feels like. God gave you that for a reason. And that was so that you could put that energy into solving the problem. That's what it's there for. So replace anger with problem solving. You could also say we could replace it with appropriate consequences. Because again, sometimes there are reasons to be angry. We're just sinfully angry in the moment, right? I could give you example on top of example of ways that I was right, but I was wrong. We've been there before. You've been there. I was right, but I was wrong. Right in what the situation was, but wrong in how I handled it. And so one of the things that we got to do is appropriate consequences. Sometimes we parent out of anger. Or sometimes we supervise out of anger. You could go on and on, right? And the final thing I would say that we could replace it with is instruction. Replace anger with instruction. That person who didn't do the right thing or the thing that got broken, you come alongside and say, no, this is how you do it. And you feel like maybe you've said it 1,000 times. Here we are again. But you're going to continue to instruct because you're patient, all right? You're walking with them. You're encouraging them. So those are the 4 things, guys, I would point you to. How do I control my anger? Realize how serious uncontrolled anger can be. See the wisdom of controlling your anger. Pray to God to fill you with the Spirit and then replace your anger. But what about fear? Let's move to fear now. How do I control my fear? Good leaders control their emotions. Good leaders control their emotions and act instead of reacting. And so fear is one of those things that creeps up on us, right? I'm going to ask you the same question I asked a moment ago with anger. Is fear always bad? Is fear always bad? The answer is no. Let's just let a grizzly bear walk in here, right? And I promise you, I'm out the door, right? I mean, you'd be crazy to not be fearful in that moment, right? That's a righteous fear. That's a sensible fear. You would have to be crazy or blind and deaf or whatever to not be scared in that moment, right? But there is ungodly fear. So here are 3 types of ungodly fear for you to think about tonight. One is the fear of a person. The fear of a person. Pleasing that person, keeping that person happy, or making that person accept you or approve of you drives you to be afraid. You don't want them to not like you. You want them to like you. Let me put it in the positive. And so that's a fear of man that is often problematic for us. A second ungodly fear is the fear of not getting what you think you can't live without. The fear of not getting what you think you can't live without. Now listen, back when I was studying biology, there's only a few things we can't live without, right? The list is pretty short of things that we can't live without. And so guys, those things that creep up and cause you to fear that loss and causes you to walk a path of fear in your life, that's not a good thing. That's an ungodly fear. And here's the 3rd thing, the fear of a circumstance that you believe you can't handle. The situation is just too big for you. You think, I just can't handle it. That's an ungodly fear. So how do we handle our fear? Again, 4 things here. And the first one is this. Get your eyes off of the problem and onto God. Right? That's where we mess up so often, is that we get so fixated on the thing that's broken or on the person that messed up or whatever it is, and we just think, just forget it, I'm out of here. Run, you know? And so our eyes are on the problem instead of on the God who is way bigger than the problem. Get our eyes off of the problem and onto God. Hope in God. Trust in God. And here's the second thing. Is ask God to give you courage. Ask God to give you courage. Whatever it is that you're facing, that you're afraid of, in this leadership aspect that you're walking in, whether it be with your children or again your coworker, or maybe people that are under you at work, or whatever it is, ask God to give you courage. I want you to hear Psalm 138, verse 3. Psalm 138, verse 3 says this: on the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul, you increased. That's the psalmist talking to God there. And I promise you, I testified about this just a few weeks ago. I've experienced this in my life when I ask God, when I'm fearful, when I'm afraid, I have felt the ministry of God. As I ask him for courage, he will answer you. He will answer you. There's a great documentary that just dropped yesterday. I put it on my Facebook yesterday, but I'm you know, the overlords. And so, hardly anybody's seen it. You know, the algorithm of Facebook has tamped it down, because it doesn't accord with the message that Facebook would want to put out there. But it's called Paint the Wall Black is the name of the documentary. It's about an hour long. It's about it just happened this past summer up in Chicago, a famous restaurant there called Nene's Deli. Nene's Deli. And basically it's these are immigrants from Cuba who just had an outstanding, successful restaurant business. The owner had left a lifestyle of homosexuality and all this stuff, and had been saved, and he's a Christian growing his faith. And then when the protests came this summer, Black Lives Matter protesters, they basically called him out and said, "Why have you not yet said that you support this thing going on?" He said, "Because I can't support it." You know, and he gave all the reasons why, as a Christian, he felt like he could not support it. And man, at that moment, the mob descended on him. I mean, they threatened his life. He lost every sponsor. I mean, he lost his business. I mean, he had to move to Texas to get away from the mob. It was that dangerous. But here's the really cool part of the video that you got to watch. The night that they decided they were going to come for the restaurant, they were threatening they were going to burn his restaurant down and all these things. You know what he did? He didn't go out there and stand with a shotgun. He got a microphone and a loudspeaker and went out there and preached the gospel to him. And it's just, I mean, it'll just give you chill bumps to watch this and to listen to this. And you think the bravery, the courage of these people. But at the same time, they were scared to death because they thought, man, I mean, They said in the moment, "I'm not ready to die, but this could be it. I mean, I could be a martyr for Jesus right here." Anyway, you just got to check it out. It's really good. It's called Paint the Wall Black. So we got to ask God for that courage, and God will do that. And here's the third thing I'd say to you, is to gather a team. Gather a team. Right? You think about that old they're from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 through 12, that wisdom from God that says two are better than one because they have a good return, a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So there's that idea of that the strength in numbers, that we rally around one another in these instances and help one another when we face fear. We don't face fear alone. And then the fourth thing I would say to you, how do you handle ungodly fear? Is that you act in faith. You act in faith. Courage is not the absence of fear. Faith is not even the absence of fear. Courage is acting in faith in the face of fear. And so you walk forward and you do what God has called you to do, what the right thing is for you to do. So you act in faith. So that brings us to our last emotion tonight to think about here, and that is, how do I control my doubt? How do I control my doubt? Here's the question I've asked with every other one of them. Is doubt always bad? And the answer is no. Because think about it. Just picture yourself right now. One of my favorite places to go is Fall Creek Falls down here in Tennessee. If you've never been to Fall Creek Falls, Tennessee, that state park there, you need to go. It's really cool. They've got several of these rope bridges across canyons, or across, not canyons, but what are they?
Are they gullies?
Yeah, gullies, yeah, something like that, right? I mean, you would die if you fell, no doubt about it, all right? No doubt about it. And so, I ain't walking across that thing. Are you kidding me? First off, it swings, and I know what's going to happen. As soon as I get out in the middle of it, my kids are going to be on the side going, "Daddy, you know, isn't this fun?" And I'm going, "No, it's not fun. It's not fun." They did that to me. Y'all ever been to the Sergeant York thing down in Tennessee? You know, his burial site and all that. Y'all been there? Yeah. So we stopped there one time, and so you've got the experience center, and then you got to go on a hike and cross over a creek. And you would think that they would just put the bridge kind of across the creek. Well, no, they've got to build the swinging bridge up like 20 feet in the air that you got to climb up and then go across. I guess because there's a little bluff on the other side. And I got out there, and my kids thought it was the fun. I was like a cat going, you know, as far as like, you know, just holding on, you know, with clawed in and all this stuff. And they just thought it was hilarious to see Daddy just jump up and down and swing on that stuff, right? So I've seen enough movies that those things fall. I've seen enough. I mean, somebody's going to cut the cord like on Bugs Bunny. I mean, this is, you know, it's going to be bad, all right? So sometimes doubt is self-preservation, all right? But nevertheless, oftentimes doubt is unreasonable and it's unnecessary. So how do I control my doubt? Five quick things here as we close up tonight. How do I control my doubt? First, you got to be honest about your doubts. Just be honest, you know. I think about doubting Thomas. He was honest with his doubt, wasn't he? And it led to a breakthrough for him. But here's the second thing, and this one's probably the most important one, is assess whom or what you are doubting. Assess whom or what you are that you're doubting. Right? You may doubt yourself. You may doubt that bridge. But guys, should we ever doubt God? No, we should never doubt God. And so in those moments, we've got to understand, who am I really doubting here? And if it's God, when Scripture tells us that all things are possible with Him, when Scripture says that nothing can hold back God, right? He can open doors that nobody else can open, and He can close doors no one else can open. Wait, I said it the same way both times, but you get the point, okay? Here's the third thing. Is you got to speak biblical truth to yourself. Here's the thing with doubt. Doubt, you know, is one of those things that's going to say, can't. And when you're trying to lead, right? I mean, the devil's going to throw those flaming darts at you. But you got to speak biblical truth. You got to speak Scripture to yourself. And then four is to act on the promises of God. Act on the promises of God. And you rest in His sovereignty. And you rest in His providence. If the Lord wills. Now think about that for a moment. That's not doubt. To just say, if the Lord wills. That's not doubt. That's saying, if God desires to, it will come to pass. And so we rest in His sovereignty, and in His providence. So guys, I'm not sure which one. If you were to pick one, I'm not asking you to raise a hand or to stand up and testify. Which one would you say you struggle with the most? Anger, when it comes to leading and your emotions, which one do you struggle with the most? Anger, fear, or doubt? God's word has answers for all of these. Proverbs 16:32, he who rules his spirit is mightier and is better than he who takes a city. So here's my final prayer for us tonight. May those who are under you see you as under control.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and He stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what He has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow Him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.